information and entertainment for all generations.
Someone's particular grandchild said this.
I listen to WMKV. My TV looks there.
This is WMKV Reading, Ohio, and WLHS Westchester Liberty Township, Ohio, the Maple Knoll Radio Network.
Now let's check aerial weather with Local 12, the weather authority on WMKV and WLHS.
Wednesday weather report on the Maple Knoll Radio Network. A high of 63 degrees on Wednesday. Rain chances tonight and into tomorrow morning, where we get even chillier. A high of 58 degrees on Thursday. Cloudy skies throughout today and tomorrow. Local 12, the weather authority.
Hear Local 12 News and Good Morning Cincinnati weekdays 6 to 8 a.m. on WMKV and WLHS, and Local 12 News at 6, weekday evenings at 6 p.m. on the Maple Knoll Radio Network.
Support comes from Cornerstone Insurance, LLC, offering both personal and business insurance. Can car insurance rates be negotiated? In short, no. Pricing factors for insurance companies include a driver's history of infractions and collisions, credit score, age, gender, location, and type of vehicle. Damage or destruction due to vandalism, fire, and certain natural disasters are usually covered. More information is available at CornerstoneInsLLC.com.
It's the top of the hour on WMKV Reading, Ohio, 89.3 FM, and time for Everybody's Planning Hour. This one-hour call-in program focuses on subjects important to all of us if we are to age successfully, made possible by a grant from the Bauman Foundation. And now let's join our host for today's Everybody's Planning Hour.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Your host, Lou Gatch. That's not a surprise, because I have been here on Wednesdays from 1 to 2 for quite a while, and I am pleased to be here once again on November 13th, year of our Lord, 2024. Here on behalf of the Bauman Foundation, been underwriting, sponsoring this program for lo these many decades. Not only does it underwrite this program, but it offers a free radio. One radio per program will be awarded to a listener in the listening area. That means you're not on your computer. You've got 89.3 or 89.9 on your radio, in your car, in your home. If it's in the car, drive carefully. If you're a listener and you could use a radio, or you know someone that could use a radio, give us a call or a text, and we will award one radio per program. How do you call or text? The text line is 513-201-8249. The telephone lines locally, 513-772-9658. Long distance, 877-772-9658. This is a call-in, text-in program. We invite participation from our listeners, our thousands out there in the audience, and you will be very interested to know that my guests today are from the Springer School and Center in Cincinnati, Ohio. You may never have heard of it or know what it does, but after today's program, you will know all about this very unique school, very, very important and unique school. My guests are Brett Marcoux. Hello, Brett.
Hello, Lou. Thanks for having me.
Brett is the president, and hello, Kirsten Eisman.
Hello. Thanks for having us.
Kirsten is the vice president of the Springer School. Which one of you is going to tell us what the Springer School is, and then the other one can describe the Springer Center?
That sounds wonderful. Happy to go first, Lou. Thanks again for having you join us. Happy to talk about Springer a little bit. So as you referenced, there's two different parts of our organization, the school and the center. The school educates students traditionally in grades 1 through 8, and most recently we opened a high school, so we've got students in 9th and 10th grade now and continue to expand. They are students diagnosed with dyslexia, ADHD, or executive functioning challenges who really need a school that meets them where they are. We have a specialized program that helps with small class sizes and direct explicit instruction that really is the formula for a Springer student to be successful.
What can you describe ADHD, dyslexia, and executive function deficiency?
Absolutely. So dyslexia is a language-based learning disability. What it really means when you look at a brain scan is that people's brains who are diagnosed with dyslexia are functioning differently than those with a traditional learning experience. And so the term neurodiverse comes up when talking about our students. They are brilliant, but learning to read is very difficult for them because their brains are just wired differently. So it takes a different and specialized educational process to help them learn to read.
So someone with dyslexia, when they look at a word or a sentence, how do they process it differently than somebody that doesn't have that situation?
Great question. So it is difficult for them to break down the sounds behind each letter.
Ah.
And so when it's difficult to break down the sounds that each individual letter make, it makes reading a word where there's a variety of sounds,
yes,
and in the English language, multiple sounds for each letter, it's difficult for them to put those sounds together in order to speak the word or to read the word.
Now,
when you think about,
sounds, they hear the sounds in their head.
They can hear the sounds just fine. It's actually the written language on paper that's so difficult for them. So speaking, hearing a conversation, they're exceptional with auditory processing. That's what we call that.
So when you look at a word or a something spelled, you automatically think of how that sounds, or you understand how that sounds?
I would say by the time you get to my age and your age, we have been able to decode the sounds that each of those letters and those words make so that we can read them very fast and fluently is the word that
decoding,
we use.
I like that.
You've got it. So when we can decode words, we can read with fluency, meaning we can read one sentence smoothly just as if you and I are talking.
Yes.
When you can read fluently, that allows you to comprehend.
Ah.
So you can think about what that sentence says. But you cannot comprehend when you're trying to break down every individual sound that every letter in a word makes.
Wow.
You can't read fluently. You can't comprehend what that's saying. So it makes understanding what's written down immensely complex.
How common is that situation?
20% of America.
Come on.
No kidding. 20% of this country has a language-based learning disability.
Is it genetic?
It is genetic. There are threads that say that heredity is a factor. It does not mean that a mother or a father who's diagnosed with dyslexia, it does not mean that they will pass that on to their children. But far more often than not, we see the thread through the family line.
Wow.
I'll jump in and just say many of those family members are not diagnosed either, because if you think about generationally,
right,
we have far more psychologists now that understand how to diagnose dyslexia. And that's where our center comes in that I want to offer Kirsten a chance to talk about in a second here. But the fact that psychologists now understand what dyslexia is a huge factor that 40 years ago, the psychologists in our country, by and large, very few knew how to understand and diagnose a student with dyslexia. So people my age, the diagnoses were few and far between, and your age even more so.
Once your students understand, you give them skills on processing and learning, right?
We do.
And they can end up functioning very satisfactorily.
Exceptionally well, actually.
It just may take them longer to read something?
It won't if they go through our program, right?
Uh-huh.
So the idea is with that neurodiverse brain wiring, right? it takes explicit, direct, multi-sensory instruction. And
wow.
The word multi-sensory really means you're engaging not just your brain. You're physically involved in the learning process.
Wow.
There is a specialized reading program that is the gold standard across schools like us across the country called the Wilson Reading System. Springer is a certified Wilson provider. And so we brought Springer, we brought Wilson into Springer about 5 years ago now. And that program has changed the trajectory of our readers and our learners. The goal being that in time they can read fluently, they can comprehend as well as their same age peers. But the time period that we have to work with them is right now.
Okay.
Kids are learning to read all the way through college if they don't have Springer.
Right.
But the sooner we can help them, the better off the outcomes.
All right. Listeners, you're beginning to get the background. Give us a call, 513-772-9658 or 877-772-9658 with a question, a comment, or a text, 513-201-8249. My guests are Brett Marcoux, who is the president of Springer, and Kirsten Eisman, who is the vice president. You talked about dyslexia. How about ADHD? What does that mean? That's an acronym for something.
It does. So it's an acronym for Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder. And what that really truly means is students in a classroom are paying attention to everything that's going on. And so when you have a student next to you moving, when the teacher's talking, when the assistant's in motion grading papers perhaps, when there's a visitor that walks in from the side, they are absorbing all of that in exactly the same time period that it's taking place, which limits their ability to focus on the instruction that the teacher is leading in the classroom.
So they're easily distracted.
You've got it.
And how common is ADHD?
I wish I had the percentage for that. You've caught me off guard there, Lou. But I know it is much more common.
More or less than dyslexia.
If I had to take an indicator, I'd say more common, just because our kids, we see it much more often in that they need to be more active in the classroom. So we've got a system in the classroom that's set up to allow them to physically move while they're learning, because we know that's the way in which they learn best, many of them.
You mean on their feet?
Many can, yep. We have standing desks in the classrooms, which are not uncommon, a number of different tools in each classroom, and all of that is based on the individual students in that room. So we are diagnostic by nature. We understand each child and their learning needs as well as their strengths.
Wow.
We leverage their strengths to address their learning needs. So if they learn very well in motion, we're going to make sure we have a standing desk or some tools in the classroom to help them stay tuned to what's going on.
Okay, let's go to the phones and say hello to Eileen. Hi, Eileen, you're on the air.
Hi, Lou. I really wish that Springer was around when I was a kid. 72, almost 73, and I had a horrible time reading. Came with my mother, who was very well-educated in at a Sacred Heart Academy and, you know, French teachers and everything. And I just, even to this day, I'm not a real good reader in comprehension. I read something, I get tired of reading, I put it down, I have to go back and read that same thing. I got called stupid, retarded, not living up to my expectations. Mom took me through all kinds of psychological exams, and in the end they said, she's a normal adult female by the time I got to that age. And it was tough. And then I think I also have, and I'm pretty sure I have dyslexia. I've kind of diagnosed myself at this point. I'm not going to go through the diagnosis of it. I know I have to think about how to spell certain words, like who and how was. I can get that backwards. I get numbers sometimes backwards. But I've survived this long. I've done pretty well. I won't say I'm a millionaire or anything. But I got through high school. I can read better just reading, like if I was in church reading something. As far as ADHD, I don't think I have the hyperness of it. But I I know my younger sister finally got diagnosed with the ADHD because her son was having issues. And she said, I want to know why I couldn't read and why I had all this craziness. And so she got diagnosed. But I've heard at my point, I'm surviving. I'm kind of thriving. I speak better than I write pretty well, too. I'm getting better at that. Thank goodness for spell check and Siri, because sometimes they can help me out on things, but it takes me a little longer to think. Now, I want to spell, like, today, okay? I have to think about that. That's W-H-O. Okay, got it. Put it down. But, Springer would have been wonderful back in the day. I got kicked out of class. And it didn't help one of the schools I went to. It had two grades in one classroom because we only had four classrooms. And it didn't also help I had an older sister who's only 15 months older than I am who could do anything and everything well. She could ace it. And so the fact of being able to pay attention, I was very distracted because the teacher would teach a third grader first and then go over and teach the fourth graders go to imaginary line. I got in trouble so many times because I couldn't work. I had to listen to what she was saying. So I'm so glad that Springer's there for kids these days. I just kind of have to look back and go, well, Mom tried, but it didn't turn out. And as you said, they didn't know about this back then.
Okay, Eileen. Thanks for listening and telling us about how well you've done. You probably don't realize it, but just the fact that your brain operates differently than some people's can be a gift. It can be something special. Therefore, thanks for the call.
You're welcome, Lou. Bye
All right.
now.
Goodbye. Phone lines once again open on Everybody's Planning Hour, 513-772-9658. Long distance, 877-772-9658. Text line, 513-201-8249. My guests are Brett Marcoux, president of Springer School and Learning Center, and Kirsten Eisman, the center. Very complicated subject, a lot to cover, and we welcome calls, welcome texts. So far, we've learned about dyslexia, ADHD, and finally, Brett, the president of Springer, what is executive function? Is this a new term, or is that something that was there, but we didn't know how to explain it?
It's a great question. So executive function didn't exist as far as I knew when I was a child growing up. I'm in my mid-40s. Psychologists probably were very aware the executive functioning skill is that which allows you to organize and prioritize.
Okay.
So in our minds, yours probably, for example, you've got an outline in your head or on paper about how our interaction is going to go, how the interview will happen, when to take callers, how to ask questions. You've organized and planned and prioritized between your natural ability to do that and your experience doing this for a number of years, right?
Right, Brett. It's the experience and the fact that this program is completely unorganized. It is not scripted. It depends entirely upon a conversation, what somebody says, and that leads to something else. So, so the executive function, how can you train or help somebody to do organization better?
It's a great question. So that's part of the system.
Is that part of the Wilson system?
It's not. It's a separate system. We use a different program, but we've made it our own. So there's no natural system that ties to what Springer does. That's actually what makes us so unique, is we've been able to take a variety of systems that exist and take them directly to our students to help them. And so a large part of that is our class size. When you have 10 to 12 students in a room with two adults,
yes,
they're able to help individual children organize, plan, prioritize, and prepare, that is not going to be able to take place in a larger classroom setting when you have 20 to 25 students and one teacher. As great of an instructor and teacher and educator as that person might be, they will never be able to get to those 25 students. And so our ratio is a huge part of that, and it allows the adults to work directly with the kids.
All right. And these adults are trained in this type of teaching?
They are. Nearly every special educator comes out of a program with experience working with kids just like those enrolled at Springer. And usually the ones that are drawn to Springer are those that they know they could reach in a classroom if they were in the right setting. So many have worked at one or two schools before coming to Springer and realize they are not able to reach the children that they want to reach the most, and they're drawn to what we're doing.
Is Springer a private school?
It is a private school, tuition-based. Go ahead.
It's not part of the Cincinnati public school system.
It is not. No, we're independent. Since 1971, Springer has been an independent organization, just celebrated our 50th anniversary a couple years ago.
Does the state of Ohio have requirements for teaching the curriculum, no matter what school it is?
Great question. So there is an outline of what needs to be taught grade by grade, but okay, many of them are very high-level functions.
Okay.
So we stick to and understand what those requirements in the state of Ohio are, but what we also know is our students need very diagnostic-specific instruction. And so as an independent school, we're allowed to craft the instruction for students with dyslexia.
I understand that the state of Ohio recently, maybe a few years ago, passed a law that said you should teach cursive writing. Does Springer teach cursive?
We have occupational therapists that work with handwriting.
Okay.
I don't believe the Ohio requirement exists any longer that we teach cursive specifically. We do work on handwriting, though, in class. And with the advancement of technology, I think Eileen so thoughtfully referenced, technology was one of the things that really is a tool for her now.
Okay.
Advances in technology have taken the world to another level, but for our kids who struggle with seeing words on paper and being able to read them out loud, functions like text-to-speech technology that's now accessible on your phone and on computer programs everywhere, that has allowed our kids to access things that they would have been behind on 20 years ago, that now they can access things that their same-age peers can at other schools because technology has allowed them to do so.
When they apply for a job, they're going to have to sign their name on an application.
That's right.
Are they going to be able to sign it cursively, or do they print?
Many will be able to sign cursive. All of our students are able to print and write just fine. And again, that's because our occupational therapists can often push in with those in need of writing support. Not all of our kids need writing support. Some come into Springer writing in script and cursive wonderfully. And so that's not part of their need. That's one of their strengths.
Okay. Very interesting. This program that discusses how people's brains work differently, which doesn't mean there's something wrong with them, it's just that they work differently. I recently have had guests that illustrate the very same point. Recently, I had David Mueller, who is a painter, an oil painter, paints portraits. And he explained that people see colors differently. They interpret colors differently. To one, they might say, well, that's blue. And the other person, they'd say, well, that's green. So a person's brain thinks about things like that. I also had Tom Murphy, who makes perfume. And he was explaining how people's brains, different brains, interpret scents and odors differently, what it makes them think of or words. So it's sort of revolutionary that people understand that everybody's brain doesn't operate the same way, and that's what your school understands. All right, listeners, there's the background. Give us a call, 513 772-9658, 877-772-9658. Text is 513-201-8249. Right here in Cincinnati, Ohio, is a very unique school that enables children whose brains work differently to learn and get along in life very well, become very functional and very successful. And it's not only a school, but it is a center. So, Kirsten, tell us about the Springer Center. What does that do?
Absolutely. So I first want to say to Eileen, I'm sorry that that was her experience. And I want to acknowledge that many of the families out there might have had that same experience for their children, right? Their child might be struggling in the classroom. They might be having pull-out time, or perhaps they've been told that they were stupid or not smart. And so when that is happening, a family can call and call Springer, and then we can help find the answers for them. So that's what our center does. So a family might call and say, you know, my child is experiencing this. They're not learning a traditional way. What do I do? And so our diagnostic services will provide an evaluation for that family and help find out exactly why or what is the best learning environment or learning style for that student. And it really gives the whole family an answer, right? So when we have families come in, the child is getting the diagnosis, the family is getting answers. What do I do next? How can they learn best? And so through that process, the whole family is experiencing success, right? So our diagnostic center evaluates those students. And then the other side of our center is the opportunity to train others, do outreach in our community. And that can look like parent programs where we help break down what is dyslexia, what is executive function. The other part of that is to help teachers and professionals better teach their students who might have executive function issues or ADHD.
Teachers in other schools.
Absolutely. That's correct.
So when teachers go through learning how to become teachers, they don't necessarily get trained in how to deal with people that are dyslexic or ADHD.
That's correct. Yeah. And so we can help provide those tools for those teachers. And we do and have done that for several years. And we're really growing the offerings that we have and those programs so that we can help more educators to then help more students.
How many teachers come to you for help?
Oh, that's an excellent question. So we've really started to relaunch those programs, and we have started to get more and more. So next February, we are launching a all-day conference that we are inviting all sorts of educators to come to, and we should be able to house in that one-day, all-day conference about 350.
Wow.
In addition to that, we also do programs at schools, and we have other programs that we can do on our campus, and so we're growing those programs.
So this is all on the same campus that the school is?
Correct, and that's all part of a growth and expansion that we've done thanks to a capital campaign that we wrapped up. We were able to grow our programs and grow our organization both physically and within our programs.
Where is this physically? Where are you located?
Yes, we're located in Hyde Park on 2121 Madison Road. And so we have expanded that, our campus, and we now have, we will soon be able to open our new wing. And once we do that, we'll have our Empowered Learning Conference in that location in February of 2025.
How many acres is this?
Our campus sits on 6 acres.
Wow. How much road frontage on Madison?
We're right on the corner of Madison and Grandin.
Madison and Grandin?
Uh-huh.
And there's 6 acres there?
Mm-hmm.
How much by road frontage? I mean, 100 feet on Madison Road or?
I'd say probably 100 yards. It's a large space along Madison Road.
But when you're driving along, you don't really see the campus. You can't look back there.
You can see the school sits actually right on Madison Road.
Okay.
If you're not looking for it, it's easy to look past, but there's a large playground and a large school building right there sitting on the road. What you can't see in the back half of the campus is our parking lot. And where we used to have one of the smaller buildings that we since have torn down in order to make space for our new 22,000 square foot building and addition that was part of our capital campaign.
22,000. Wow.
That's correct. Yes. Three stories, 22,000 square feet.
Wonderful.
It is. Auditorium, offices for about 20 staff. It will be the hub for the community-focused diagnostic center and the learning center, and it will house four classrooms for our youngest students, which, as you know, Harry and Linda Pfaff, part of their contribution to this capital campaign that we just wrapped up last year was to expand the number of classrooms so that we can serve more families.
Okay. All right. A lot of questions. We'll have to take a break when we come back. I'm talking to Brett Marcoux, president, and Kirsten Eisman, vice president of Springer School and Center in Cincinnati, Ohio. Let's take a break.
The NBC Theater presents
Screen Directors Guild Assignment.
This week on Screen Directors Playhouse, A Foreign Affair.
These are my colleagues, Congressman Giffen,
howdy.
Salvatore, Krauss,
Delilah.
Yandel, yeah. And this is Congresswoman Phoebe Frost.
From Iowa, from the 9th District of Iowa.
Delightful of Congress to send us a lady representative.
You may dispense with the soft soap, Colonel. And what, may I ask, is the meaning of this reception?
I'm afraid I don't understand.
I came here hoping to find an army taking its task seriously. Instead, I find a military band. What, no drum majorettes?
We had some, but we sent them back to the barracks. They forgot to shave.
This week on Screen Directors Playhouse, A Foreign Affair.
Saturday night at 9 during the big broadcast.
Everybody's Planning Hour is produced by WMKV-FM in cooperation with the Bauman Foundation. Advice, opinions, and statements expressed on this program are those of the on-air participants and do not necessarily reflect those of the Bauman Foundation, the staff and management of WMKV, or the station's licensee. If you have a specific medical, financial, or legal question or concern, consult your appropriate professional. And now back to Everybody's Planning Hour.
Good afternoon again, ladies and gentlemen. Lou Gatch back with you on Everybody's Planning Hour. My guests are Brett Marcoux and Kirsten Eisman of the Springer School and Center in Cincinnati, Ohio, an extremely unique school, one of only three in Ohio and probably one of only 50 in the United States. There are very few schools that teach students that have dyslexia or ADHD or executive function. Before we take some calls, let's go to the text line.
Okay, let me see here. Oh, there we go. We have a text here, someone, no name given. I'm a parent of a Springer alumni and thank Springer every day. They taught her many things, but teaching my child to advocate for herself has been a life skill that has served them so well. So there you go. Pat on the back, guys.
So wonderful. Thanks to her for texting in. We hear so many of those stories.
Very good. Next, this is Bill in Fairfield. Are the occurrences of these disorders similar in other parts of the world? And he said, I didn't hear all the beginning of the show. Did they say where the name Springer came from?
I'll answer the first. Kirsten, you want to take the second? Great. So the first question about are there pockets of the country or the world where these diagnoses come from more frequently? That is actually directly correlated with the number of psychologists in that region who are trained to diagnose these learning differences. And so in the United States, that started on the coasts up in Massachusetts at Harvard and down in Johns Hopkins in Maryland, and then in some of the universities in California, they were on the cutting edge of dyslexia diagnoses way back decades ago. And so from there, that is the real hub right now. And as you get to the Midwest, it trickles in a little slower. And it's more difficult to get people who are trained to offer those diagnoses when you get to Pennsylvania, Ohio, Illinois, just because those hubs have always been at the coast. But by now, we have people across the country who are able to understand the diagnoses. What we don't have is the awareness that, as Eileen pointed out, she should have been diagnosed with dyslexia, but she got kicked out of class a lot. That is not uncommon. So when you're in a classroom, and if you picture yourself struggling to follow the class because they're reading out of the book or off the page, and you are not able to follow, and you can't keep pace because you're not just able to read the words as fluently, what you do is either, number one, go inside yourself and have self-doubt, or number two, act out in a way to change the subject and get people to focus on your behavior instead of your inability to read the words on the page.
Question, following Bill's, is this a only in the United States or all over the world?
All over the world. So dyslexia is a reading function that takes place in your brain. Every written language has a reading, written, spoken word for language. So everywhere around the world, there are children who can be diagnosed with dyslexia.
In the 1940s, was dyslexia diagnosed?
Oh, that's a great question. I'm not a historian. I wish I knew the answer. Oh, yes. Yes, it was. There are schools in the country, one that I started with that was founded in 1926, specifically for boys diagnosed with dyslexia. So my personal anchor goes back to 1926, but I would imagine it's far before that.
All right. Now, where did this name Springer come from, Kirsten?
Absolutely. Well, let me share with you about, I'm sure, someone that you know, which is Reuben Springer. He is a philanthropist in Cincinnati many, many years ago, and he donated the original funds, actually, when we were part of the Cincinnati Diocese, to purchase our first building, which was, I believe, in Avondale. And from there, then we actually separated from the diocese in 1971.
But so it started off as a Catholic school?
It did, yes. Mm-hmm. And it was Reuben Springer who also donated to Music Hall. Right, you've probably seen his bust in Music Hall. So he was a philanthropist that helped start what is Springer School and Center.
So did Reuben Springer understand the problem?
You know, I can't speak for what he knew, but what I do know is that he cared very much about children, and that he wanted children to have the best education that was possible. And at the time when Springer was part of the diocese, they were helping all of the children that may not learn traditionally. And so that narrowed our focus in 1971 when we actually became an independent school, and we then focused specifically on learning disabilities.
All right. Thanks for the text, Bill. Phone lines once again open, 513-201, that's the text line, 513-201-8249. Telephone, 513-772-9658. Or 877-772-9658. I have Brett Marcoux, the president, and Kirsten Eisman, vice president of Springer School and Learning Center. And you say it is a private institution, right?
It is. That's correct.
So the tax levy, people are paying taxes. Their taxes don't go to support Springer.
That is accurate. There are three pots of funding that fund a Springer student's education. Number one is the family. They pay tuition. So our tuition rate right now, just over $30,000 a year. That's a lot of money. And when you start to unpack what an education means at Springer, so many families need all of the elements that we've started talking about, which is where that second community comes in. The state of Ohio has a very specific scholarship. It's called the John Peterson Special Needs Scholarship. That started in 2012 and allows each student with an IEP in their public school to attend Springer with this scholarship. Right now, the value of that scholarship is over $12,000 a year.
Per student?
Per student. And that offsets a significant cost to the family.
Tell me about the John Peterson Fund. Where'd that come from?
That actually was a state legislator's concept back in 2010 and 11 that worked its way into the budget. Springer and What We Stand For, which is understanding students' individualized needs and helping them access to be their best self, that has bipartisan support in the legislature in Ohio and across the country. So that support.
Is it something that has to be renewed each year and voted on?
It is part of the annual budget at the state each year. So okay. It's not necessarily an individual function to be voted on. It is part of the overall budget.
And it is people are in favor, the legislators are in favor of it.
Oh, very much so. We've organized many legislators, Republican, Democrat, Independent, to come through Springer and see the impact of a Springer education on students. Everyone that walks through the doors appreciates what the teachers are doing in the classroom and knows how important Springer is to our community.
How many schools in Ohio are able to use this fund?
Oh, that's a great question. So there are a lot of Peterson providers, and that's the term for it. You can be a Peterson scholarship provider. You don't actually have to be a school to do so. The state publishes that list publicly on their website. Springer is one of only three schools, though, as you referenced earlier, that specifically work with students throughout every school day diagnosed with dyslexia and ADHD.
Where are the other two schools?
One in Columbus and one in Cleveland. Columbus is Marburn Academy, and up in Cleveland is the Lawrence School.
Okay. So family, Peterson grants, what's the third component of how people afford to go there?
Great question. You are tracking exceptionally well about the third part of that. The third is actually Springer. So over the course of our 50-plus years, Kirsten's in charge of fundraising, and what that really means is she goes to the community and says, do you all understand the impact that a Springer education has on our students? We've been doing exceptional work in the classroom for over 50 years, and those families, just like that alumni parent texted in earlier that was shared, that experience has happened for decades now. And so with the support from the community, we can raise money to offset the cost of a Springer education through financial aid. So right now, over half of our students are beneficiaries of financial aid. The cost for every individual student right now on average is just under $7,000 a year. That's a lot different than the over $31,000 price tag.
So Springer is a charity? It's a 501c3 organization?
It is a nonprofit organization. You've got it. 501c3.
You take donations?
We will accept donations right now, Lou. Now and any day in the future. Absolutely.
If somebody wanted to make a donation, how would they do it?
Yeah. So if somebody was interested in making a donation to Springer, there's multiple ways. First and foremost, if they would like to, they can make a donation online. They can go to our website, which is springer-ld for learning disabilities.
Say that again.
Springer-ld and then .org.
What does LD stand for?
Learning disabilities.
Ah.
Mm-hmm. And so you can do that. We have a giving tab on our website. They can also call us and we can take a donation over the phone, or they can mail in a check. We also accept gifts from foundations, from personal trusts. We also accept IRA distributions.
QCDs.
Yes, thank you.
Qualified charitable distributions.
That's correct. Yes, you must have a job in this.
I do, and I do the QCDs. You have to have an IRA and be over a certain age, namely in the 70s. And it is a terrific double tax-free way in Ohio to use part of your RMD. Sorry about all the initials, but that's a required minimum distribution. And a QCD is the way to use part of it, and you get a tax deduction, especially in the state of Ohio. You do not have to pay the Ohio income tax, which you otherwise do on your RMD. So tell us once again, do you accept donations, grants in any amount, or does it have to be at least X number of dollars?
Of course, we're going to accept any amount. And if somebody is interested in having a gift specifically go to a scholarship fund, we can do that. Or if somebody says, you know, I want to support Springer in whatever way is possible. And that could be through diagnostics, or that could be through a scholarship for children.
So you have scholarship funds?
Absolutely. We have scholarship funds both for our schools, our lower school and middle school, and our high school. In addition to that, we also have scholarships available in our diagnostics. So I did talk a little bit about our diagnostics program. That is a fee-based program. So if somebody wanted to have their a diagnosis, there is a fee associated with that. However, we do award financial aid for that as well, so that we don't want any family to not get the answers they need.
All right. Listeners, 513-772-9658. 877-772-9658. Were you aware of the Springer School? Did you have any idea of what it's accomplished? Do you have any questions now about how it works and how it can benefit what's going on in the city of Cincinnati, in the world, really? Are any of your graduates who have taken advantage, have understood how to read, write, compute, and be a successful person, have any of them come back to either teach or donate to Springer?
Oh, that's a great question.
Great question. I would say one of the things Springer is really very strong at is staying connected with the people from our history. So there are people who worked at Springer decades ago who are still donors in our annual report. You can see their name. So when you get into our building and you feel what's happening and see it with your own eyes, it is something very special. It's what draws teachers to become part of our community. And professionals who are not teachers, they want to be part of something special. And so once you're experiencing that, usually those legs last, and so they continue to give year after year, even after they retire from Springer or move on or move out of the state. I would say one of the ways more recently that our development team has done a great job in keeping people engaged is the planned giving process. So about 5 years ago, Kirsten and her fundraising team launched the Legacy Society. Mm-hmm. Do you want to offer just a little backdrop on what the Legacy Society does?
Absolutely. So we were very fortunate to see a future that we needed to have funding for, right? So as we continued to grow the organization, we knew that we also needed people who were willing to commit to us in the future. So we put together a legacy society about 5 years ago. And in that, we had some people that committed early on, right, to make a planned gift. And that could be a portion of their estate, or it could be a life insurance policy. And as of today, you know, one of the things that we talked about earlier was Harry and Linda Fath's gift. That was a pledge, right? That's a pledge that they are going to fulfill. And that could be a planned gift, and that, or that could be fulfilled earlier. But we have many people that chose to be a part of our legacy society.
Do you encourage regular annual gifts? Like sometimes people make charitable pledges. For example, for this radio station, we encourage not quite sure what we call it, but you decide I'm going to give so much a month, and it's automatically taken out of an account, so I don't have to think about it or worry about it. Maybe $10 a month or something like that, and it's automatically renewed, but I can stop it at any time. Do you have that program?
Yes. In fact, we're very fortunate that we have around 50 donors that donate monthly to us. And
yes,
that could be a small gift like $10 a month, to we have people that are making significant gifts of hundreds, if not thousands, a month to Springer because they know the value. And they know that for us in our budget, having that reoccurring gift helps us plan.
So Springer, being a charity, you do not have to pay real estate tax. Is that right?
That's correct.
What city services do you receive?
Oh, I would say the service providers in the city that we see regularly, the offices that you'd expect, the fire department, the police department. So just yesterday, the fire department was on campus just doing a walkthrough for safety. The police officers recently came in and spoke to our high school students about civic engagement. So a proactive approach to trying to bring awareness to our students that could be happening in so many schools, but a lot of educators are tied down by the curriculum and what they need to move through.
Yes.
We really focus on what our kids are going to need to be successful in life. And our school resource officer and his colleague were able to come in and speak to our high school physics class about how to advocate yourself appropriately as an adult because they're planning their future post-high school. It was wonderful to get law enforcement people in there to be partners in educating our children.
For example, that's the texture also was talking about how advocating for yourself. Explain that.
That's right. So when you have a strong sense of self, right, you know who you are as a person, your values, how you learn best, that creates the foundation for you emotionally and socially, right? That doesn't happen naturally to our kids when they're in traditional schools because they're spending so much time second-guessing themselves,
okay,
wondering why they're different, wondering why they can't focus or read as well as their peers. So their foundation is shaken. When they come to Springer, we educate them on what's going on with them in their brain and how they learn.
Wow.
It strengthens that foundation. That then allows them, that awareness allows them to speak up, and our teachers do direct instruction to help them advocate for their needs. So our teachers conference with individual students to help them process and understand their own learning style, their own struggles, maybe with dyslexia or executive functioning, and develop plans and coach them through how to put principles in place that allow them to be successful. So that word that we get to that's part of our mission statement is empowerment.
Ah.
We want to empower our students to lead successful lives. And what that really means is they are going to have to be, just like Eileen pointed out when she called in earlier, an advocate for themselves in the world. So with a strong foundation where our kids know who they are and what they value and how they learn, they'll be able to be empowered to be successful citizens in the world.
All right. Let's go to the phone lines and say hello to Julie. You are on the air.
Hi, thank you. I just wanted to call in and tell you my son is a 1999 graduate of Springer. He is now a college graduate. He has his MBA, and it's all because of Springer. So I wanted just to let you know that he still uses his Springer strategies every single day.
Outstanding.
From 1999. So we, every single day, are grateful to Springer, our entire family. And Springer means so much to our family and to the entire community. So the work that you do every single day is amazing. It is so important. So do not think that for 1 minute that you are not changing lives every single day, because you are, and the work is so important. So thank you very, very much from a very grateful alumni mom. I wanted to thank you all and let you know that the work is so important, and it truly does resonate every single day.
Okay, Julie, thank you very much for that wonderful call. And congratulations.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Goodbye. Let's go to Jane. Jane, you're on the air.
Yeah, me, I on the air.
You're on air. How can we help you?
I went to Springer back in from 1959 to 1964. Then I went to Whitlow. But that way I was taught by four sisters of charity. And it started at St. Paul. Then I moved to my arm, and that year, in 1964, I went to Whitlow. And then I graduated from Whitlow. Then I worked at Monty P. Lee Home, and then I went into the Army in 71. I got out in 71. But I didn't have to pay a dime in tuition. It was all free.
Wow. What rank did you achieve?
Well,
in the Army.
Oh, I only learned that for 2 months and 4 days.
Okay. All right, Jane. Thank you very much for the call. Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening to the program.
Okay.
All right.
About 4 years schoolhouse, and it would start at St. Paul, then move to my aunt's, and took the Josephine, the first principal, and then had took the hang, and it was a really nice school.
Okay. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Okay, thank you. I listen to WNKV every day. I hang on 24 hours a day. Okay,
all right.
Bye.
Okay, thank you very much for the call. Goodbye. Phone lines once again open. We have a text. All right, what's the text?
You know, one thing that's impressive, I guess she went in 1959.
That's right.
Wow. Was that like the original year around that time?
That was actually before Springer was part of the Catholic diocese, the Archdiocese,
right?
Before Springer became independent. So it served students with dyslexia, ADHD, a number of different diagnoses. And then once we became independent in 1971, we really honed in our focus on dyslexia and ADHD.
That's amazing. All the way back to 59.
That's right. Yeah. Well, actually,
they have a testament there, caller, you know.
That's no joke. So Reuben Springer dates back to 1887. That's when actually the diocese started what is now Springer School and Center.
Wow. Very impressive. Okay. We have a text. I'm not sure. Okay. I think this is John, it looks like. Does Springer have arts education in their curriculum, and how do the arts help with learning disabilities?
Oh, my goodness. What a great question, John. So, yes is the answer directly. Arts is one of those areas that Springer students thrive in because it focuses on the creativity, and the neurodiversity really comes forth because a lot of our students can think so well outside the box. That wiring of their brain that is not like that of a traditional student, that allows them to think in dimensions that those with a traditional brain would never process and think about. That's why so many people that are well known, Tom Cruise, Bill Gates, Whoopi Goldberg, Octavia Spencer, so many successful people are diagnosed with dyslexia and ADHD. There are so many in the arts and entrepreneurship fields because that is where our students' strengths are. That goes back to Lou.
They're gifted.
That's exactly right.
They're creative.
They are so creative and wonderful. And so one of the most pride that I've got in my 6 years, one of those is that we're offering theater for the very first time this year to all our students. We've always had a very successful and popular art program and music and phys ed, but now bringing in theater really gives our students a creative outlet that they are just thriving with.
Okay. Thank you for that text, John. Unfortunately, we're running out of time. Thank you to Brett Marcoux and Kirsten Eisman for telling us all about Springer School. And I can't imagine how delightful it is when the light comes on in these students and you've explained to them why their brain works differently and they realize what it is. They must be so happy and so grateful when they what's the general age level when they come to understand the situation?
I'm going to be honest. Within 2 weeks of enrolling at Springer, most students are jumping out of the car because they know this is the right place for them.
And it's in kindergarten?
We start at first grade.
First grade?
Yep, and go through 10th grade right now.
So in the first grade, do those students understand? They can comprehend?
You know what? That's a great question. They do.
Okay. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks to the listeners, thanks to our callers, thanks to our texters, thanks to Brett and Kirsten, thanks to Dave Schramm for being chairman of the board. And until next week, this is Lou Gatz saying good planning with WMKV.